Okay, everybody. Where is everybody?
You're leaving within 30 days. You can make the Dika when the last night you're leaving.
Plus, I should have just had you. Isn't that right? Yeah. Just to let them know she was fine.
Should we wait a little bit, or? What? Sorry. Okay. That's right. So Korban Pesach, the mitzvah achilas Korban Pesach. So there's a interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam writes that the second line from the bottom, El Tzolim Oso Sholim, you roast the Korban Pesach Sholim, full, meaning there are certain parts of the Korban that are usher to eat, like the Gid Hanasha, right? And the Shomno Shel Gid. The what? The fat by the Gid Hanasha. So, the way the Kesef Mishnah explains is the Rambam Shita is that those things, when you roast it, are still in the Korban Pesach. Whereas the Kesef Mishnah says, the chaylev that's mamish osur midaraisa, you take out, because that's treif. But the rest, the Gid Hanasha, and the Shuman Hagid, right? The fat next to the Gid Hanasha, that what? You leave it in. That's how the Kesef Mishnah explains. So the Ravid says, Amar Avram, Bechai Roshi, Ein Isser Godel Mizeh, She Yitzle HaPesach Mgir Anashim Shimdo. He says, what are you talking about? He says, how can you sola the Korban Pesach with these things that are not allowed to be eaten? It's like if you're going to cook a piece of meat with the chalev that's also, now the meat's going to become treif. So he writes at the end of the phrase, he says, two lines from the bottom of the Ravid. Eskev ochel Pesach v'yovi lefonek hazeh ha'izi chofto b'karka lefonov. That if I'll be in Yerushalayim with the Rambam, and he'll give me this Korban Pesach that he says is okay, I'll throw it in front of him. Because basically the Rambam is permitting you to cook, to roast the Korban Pesach with the Gid Hanasha and the Shuman of the Gid. So what's going on here? What's this machlokus all about? So if you look in the Gemara in Pesachim on page Gimel Amud Beis, on page 3, where the bracket ends, two lines from where the bracket ends, the Tanya Shimno Mutar, V'Yisrael Kedoshim Heim V'Nogim Bo Iser. In other words, when it comes to the fats of the animal, there's certain fats that are Mutar, certain fats that are Aser, but the Shuman by the Gid Hanasha, that fat is really Mutar. But there's a minhag not to eat it. There's a minhag not to eat it. So, if you look, and what's the Ramban also writes, the Ramban on page 4 says it's not even a din d'rabbanan. On the fourth line, Vishim no mutar afilu midrabanan. El nimhargam shel Yisrael v'lo mitakonis chachamim. Right? There are three levels. There's an issa d'raisa, an issa d'rabanan, and a minhag. So the fact that you can't eat the shuman hagid is just a minhag. So someone will learn, we'll see in the Sefer Imre Chaim explains like this, that maybe the Rambam held, and we'll see who says this, But so I'm going to say that maybe the Rambam held that since the Shuman Hagid is only a minute not to eat, but it's really kosher, the Shuman Hagid, so we're not going to say don't eat the Shuman Hagid, because this way we're limiting the Korban Pesach. Say you have Korban Pesach enough that 10 people can eat it, right? But that's only if you allow one of them to eat the Shuman Hagid. If you won't allow the Shuman Hagid, then one guy won't be able to eat. So the Rambam says, so allow him to eat the Shuman Hagid also, because why? Because it's only a minhag not to eat. So to make that minhag to not to fulfill the mitzvah, that we're not going to do. That's how the Imre Chaim explains. And the Ravid, hell no, that since there's a minhag, that minhag is standing even b'mokum what? Even b'mokum mitzvah. Even b'mokum mitzvah. And that's what the Shelas David, of David of Kalina, on page 5 says. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. He quotes the Shimno Hagid. Now, in the Sefer Imre Chain, he quotes from yesterday, there was one Rambam that we didn't do yesterday in the packet. We have yesterday's packet for a second. In Hilchas Mamre. Give me one second. In Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, on page 33 in yesterday's packet, it says that Bezdin made a takana, Shekozu Gzeira Toknu Takana, Vinhigu Minog, Pasha Adovim Kol Yisrael, Vamar Chavayim Bezdin, Acher Vipkech Levatel, Devar Marishonim, Einu Yochot. Achia Godol Min Harishona B'chokhmu B'min. The Rambam says that if you want to repeal something that a previous Bezdin enacted, you have to be Godol B'chokhmu B'min. And the Ravid says no. He says, the Ravid says, Amar Avram, whoa, Afil El Yo Bezdino, ho. No, he says, anything that Bezdin did, and it was accepted in Klal Yisrael, even if Eliyahu Hanavi will come, it can't be repealed. Say, for example, like Purim. Say, so Bezdin of Mordechai was hakim Purim. So say you get a Guyutzur, we would get a bigger Bezdin to say, to undo it, to Chanuk of Purim or something like that. So the Rambam is saying that if it's Gadol B'chokhmah, if it would be Gadol B'chokhmah minyan, they can repeal the takana. The Ravid says no. Once a takana was made in Klal Yisrael, it can't be repealed. In other words, the Rambam agrees that if it's a question of understanding a halacha in the Chumash, and now another Bezdin wants to explain it differently, so then they can. But if it's a takana, even if they're not Gadol B'chokhmah Minyan, but if it's a takana, it has to be Gadol B'chokhmah Minyan. And the Ravid sheet is that Gadol B'chokhmah Minyan, what? Doesn't even help. Because once a minhag or a takana, even a minhag, spread, so it could be that the Ravid sheet is, that's how the Imre Chain on page, last page of 28 wants to say, that, one second, that a minhag that spread in Klal Yisrael, that was totally accepted by the whole Klal Yisrael, even though it was only a minhag, it becomes like a din. So he says, that's what the Ravid sheet, that's why a Bezdin can't repeal it. According to the Rambam, no. It still remains a minhag, it's not, it becomes a din. So he says, the Ravid is l'shitaso, because the Ravid holds in Hilchas Manrim that something that was started at the minute, but it was accepted in all Klal Yisrael, now it's like a din, right? Now it's like a din, so Mela can't be repealed. Can't be repealed. And that's why he says that maybe that's Pshat and the Ravid, why the Shimno Shogid, you can't even eat by Korban Pesach. Ah, Korban Pesach is a mitzvah. Like Rav Shechter says, how can you have a minhag not to do a mitzvah? Say there's only one part of the Korban Pesach left, and that's the Shimno Shalgir. And the guy didn't get to eat the Korban Pesach. So are we going to give him the Shimno Shalgir or not? So the Rambam says, yes, give it to him. The Rambam says, no, don't give it to him. Because the Rambam says, it's only a minhag not to eat. So then, let him eat. The Ravid says, the way the Imre Chaim explains, that no, but it's a minhag shenispashi b'chol Yisrael. So it's a minhag that was totally accepted all kantra. So now it becomes like a din Rabbanan. Rabbanan could tell you not to do a mitzvah. Just like what? Rabbanan tell us not to blow shofar, Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah, Chol Yom B'Shabbos. They can take away mitzvahs, b'shei b'al tas. A minhag can't do it, but a minhag can't do it. He didn't have a minhag to do a mitzvah. So the Ravid, so that's the important claim, the focus around them, and why. In other words, the Shimon Shogid is a minhag, but that minhag becomes like again. So that's what Rav David Karlina, take a look, Rav David Karlina, he was a big gadol. In fact, Rav Lazer Katzman told me that Reb Chaim Brisker, when there would be meetings of the Rabbanim in Europe. So who wants to go to meetings? No one wants to go to meetings, especially to come early to a meeting. But he would want to, he came early to the Rabbanim meetings in Europe for one reason, and that is he wanted to have the schus that when Rav David Karlina walked in the room, he could stand up for him, because he held him in such esteem. So on page 5, that's what he says. Says, Yesh od minhag, shu l'chol Yisrael, v'chomerhu, shavkiyim mitzvah in omeg kenegdo. He could have a minhag that all Klal Yisrael accepted, like the Shuman Shalgid, that is going to be so strong, since all of Klal Yisrael accepted it, that even if it comes in conflict with doing a mitzvah, we'll follow the minhag over doing the mitzvah. The Kevin Shay Skimu Olav Kol Yisrael Chomer in Yonu Ma'od. It's like the Sanhedrin. It's like a the minute becomes like a Tachon. Like Rav Shaul Kasson told me, I think from Rav Bick, that I believe it was, that the Ashkenazi Jewry, the kidneys, we treat like a dick. Like, it's a minute, but it became, you know, I mean it's very common thing. Shein Dover Omi Lenegdo. In other words, even if it's what? A question of not eating the Korban Pesach? So that's the Ravid Shita. Don't eat it. Because it's a minhag not to eat the Shimno Shalgid. So even though if you eat the Shimno Shalgid, you'll fulfill the mitzvah of eating Korban Pesach. And Korban Pesach is not a light mitzvah. One of the two mitzvahs essay that we have, that you get courage for not doing it. Meal. What we have left is the Shimno Shogid. Say they have 10 people in the Kabur, and you have enough meat to give everyone, but only if you count the Shimno Shogid. If you don't count the Shimno Shogid, there won't be enough food for anybody. Because that minhag was what? Was so accepted. Then it became like a takana, and that's how the Imre Chaim explains that the Rav Lishi also holds that anything that was started as a minhag even, but then was widely accepted in Klal Yisrael, can never be repealed.
Over this?
Yeah.
That sounds a bit...
It's a bit much. Right. Yeah. Israel, yeah.
Do these things have a status like the Rabbanon?
It becomes like a Rabbanon. In other words, the minhag that became so widely accepted becomes like a real din de Rabbanon. Yeah.
Something that's not a lot of the camp. For example,
Yeah, so a minhag against a halacha.
Yeah.
Is that a minhag?
This is a minhag against the halacha, no?
No, this is a minhag. And sometimes it conflicts with a mitzvah. That's different than to saying the minhag is not to follow the halacha. It's a little, that's different. That requires a whole, you know, that requires at least 5 packets, you know. So, you know. There's always what to do. Okay. So this is a fascinating idea. Now, so this is a fascinating idea. This machlok is the Rambam and the Ravid, where the Korban Pesach, the Shimno Shel Gid of the Korban Pesach, could be eaten to fulfill the mitzvah, according to the Rambam. The Ravid says, if the Rambam would present to me Korban Pesach like that, I'd throw it back.
Well,
the Rambam was at our wedding.
Yeah, the right of some sort spoke harsh. Okay. Oh. So now, we're both say, there's a fascinating discussion. In Hilchos Nida. So, what's the halacha in Hilchos Nida? Take a look on page 6. This week's Parsha. Huh? See? Shows we're on schedule. Look on page 6, Rabosa, please. V'isha kisiyah zova dom yezova b'sar shivas yomim tiyah medidosa kol algeah ba yitma ad ha'arev. So what's the halacha? The halacha is if a woman becomes a nida, okay, as far as the Torah is concerned, she's only usher to her husband for 7 days. So that means if she bleeds, say 5 days. So as far as the Torah is concerned, you wait 2 more days and you go to the mikveh. The whole thing is just a 7-day thing. One second. That's how the Torah is concerned. The whole deed is the only time when you have, meaning you only need 7 days. You don't need Zayin Nikiyim. You don't need 7 clean days for Nida. Midoraisa. You only need what? You only need 7 days. When do you need Zayin Nikiyim? Well, if she bleeds, say, for 5 days, she just needs 2 more days as far as the Torah is concerned. If she bleeds for all 7, well, she has to eventually stop bleeding.
Right.
She stops on the 7th day, and then but if she's a Zava Gedola, that's on page 8, meaning the first 7 days from the beginning of the cycle, that's Nida. Then the next 11 days are Zava, which means if she'll bleed in those 11 days for 3 days in a row, then she'll become a Zava Gedola. Page 8. So it's like this. So if after the 7-day period, the 7-day period begins according to most when she originally got her period, so 7 days, and then after that there's an 11-day period. If she'll bleed 3 days in a row in the 11-day period, that's called the Zava Gedola, then she needs what? Zayin Nikiyim. So we have a chumrah today that we treat every woman, we have chumras, we treat every woman like a Zava Gedola, even though they're not, and they're not a Zava Gedola.
Sure.
So if a woman just got her period, she bleeds for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, she's not a Zava Gedola, right? She's not a Zava Gedola.
but we don't want confusion. So therefore we say all women have to have 7 clean days. And then we have an extra chumra that we make you have 5 before the 7. If she bleeds for all 5, so then of course you can have to have 5 and then 7. But even if she bleeds for 2 days, it's going to be 5 and 7, and then she goes to the mikvah. So where does this come from? Where does this come from, this halacha? I mean, as far as the Torah is concerned, you only need 7 days. Zaynikim. So the Gemara has in Masechet Nida on page 12. That Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Hiskin Rebbe Besadus. Okay, we're not going to get into all, but part of it is, not the whole thing, but part of it is Amar Rav Zeir. Rav Zeir says, Benos Yisrael, Techmiru al Atzma. That Benos Yisrael made a chumra, that even if they see a little bit of blood, Kippas Davka Chardal, they have to do 7 clean days. Even if they see a little blood, they treat themselves like a Zohar Gadol. And it's interesting, and that's called, one second, that's called the Halacha Pesuka. You look at the Gemara Brachas on page 13. That's called the Halacha Pesuka. That's a straightforward Halacha. 7 days for everybody. Even though, I mean, 7 clean days. Meaning, a woman bleeds for 5 days. So as far as the Torah is concerned, 2 more days is going to be mikvah. As far as the Chum say, no, the days that she's bleeding don't count towards the 7. They have to have another 7 days. So let's say that's a lot of sukkah, and the verse is rough on page 13. That before you daven, you should always learn a halacha of sukkah. So what's an example of a halacha of sukkah? The verse says, Benos Yisrael Echmir al Atzman, Shafil Rosh Tipas Dav Kehardel, that's a halacha of sukkah. And it's interesting that in the Rambam, you know, the Rambam has a sitter, page 14. What do we do in the morning? What do we say in the morning? We say Birkas HaTorah, then we say what? Yivarecha Hashem Yishmarecha, right? And then we say Eil Dvarim. So the Rambam sitter, it says, you say Eil Dvarim Sheilav Shiur. Hapeyav HaBikur, Eil Gosh Lassan Ladok. And now, you know what it says in the Rambam? Look at page 14. Amar Rav Zeira, the Rav Yisrael, the Chmir Atzma, which I feel roast deep as down the candle. You know what's another Zion team? That's what the Rambam has in the gist. Now, after you say the Mishnah of Peya, the English Baruch Shem Yashir, you say this Salah. This is Salah.
So,
here's the
difference.
So, one second. So the big question, this is the big question that everyone asks, and that is, what happens if a woman ovulates before she can go to the mikvah? Right? Let's say she ovulates on day 10, and she's not going to the mikvah until 12, till after, because the way we do it today is you have the 5 days of the bleeding, either way, and then 7 clean days, she has to wait for an Ashkenazi lady, not an Ashkenazi man, 12 days. But she's going to miss that ovulation, right? Being with her husband in an ovulation, who's going to say, oh, they can't. So if you would follow the Din D'oraisa and just go to the mikvah when? After 7, then it'll be great. So the question is, here we have a minhag that's conflicting with the halacha, because the halacha Puruvu says to have children, and now there's a minhag to wait Zayin Nikiyim, which is what going to conflict with the. So that's a good question: could there be leniencies or not? So there's a famous Ramban. Look on page 17, Rabbi. In the Chidushei Ramban, page 17. Ramban says, "Humrazu shenagu benos Yisrael buchshara be'enei chachamim." Rasu osa kehalacha pesuka. In other words, this chumra, which is a minhag, the chachamim liked it, and they made it like a real halacha, like a real din. So Ramban says, so therefore you can never be maker. So according to Ramban, you can't say, well, the ovulation is on day 10, and she's only going to the mikvah on day 12, so she's missing out. No, you can't be maker. So the Galia and the Sakta, that's page 15 and 16, they're a dovet of the Varda. He says, maybe not. Look what he said on page 16 on the bottom. Oh no.
Page 16 on the bottom. 15 and 16 happen to be the same page. I don't know what I'm going to ask.
16. 16 goes to the bottom and 17 goes to the top.
Oh, that's what happened. Yeah, sometimes the safer is a very big safer. So what I have to do is I have to zero the same page twice, once to get the bottom and once to get the top. That's how it works. He says, Omnam, you see, Omnam, bottom 16, right side. Omnam, Matsasi, Yishchok, Lomadaki, Asik, Zero, Takana, Vaskana. He says, no, he thinks that when it comes to a Takana, so when the Chachamim got together and made up as an enactment, so then it's binding, no matter what. Like the Chacham said, don't blow shofar, Rosh Hashanah, Shachal, Yos, B'Shabbos. Finished. We're losing out on mitzvah. So what? They're telling us not to do it. Because they had a form, what? Aval Ezer Minhag, fourth line. Or Chumrah. But if it's not a Minhag, right? It's not a Minhag. So then what? If it's not a Chacham, it's just a Minhag. So then that, he says, comes in conflict with something else, like through a rule or something like that, then maybe the minute could fight against the Ramah. He's saying, bottom line, it's a minute. So, if that's going to stop this lady from having children, why should we have to keep a minute that's going to stop a mitzvah from being done? A takana could stop a minute, but it wasn't a takana. At least part of it wasn't, but at least I can't get into all the details now. So the Ramban says it was accepted, like, but L'chor the Galim Sechta is right. At least if it was only a Tipas Dam, Kechardels, that was only a minute. I mean, most of our cases, like Rosh Hashanah pointed out, anyway, the din of Rabbi Basado, so okay, we can't get into all the details here. So you know what he wants to say? The Imre Chayim, that maybe the pshat is that, like what the Rabbi said, so since it's a minhag, that what? Since it's a minhag that was accepted in all of Pali, that all Pali still have this minhag. So aspiring just before it's accepted, she now doesn't do fire and stuff. Okay? But it's accepted in all of Pali, so what did the Rabbi say? Becomes like what? Like a takana. And just like the Rabbi said, what? You can't eat the shindo shogid even to the yotzei the korban pesach. So too, you can't.
What's
that? You can't. You can't withdrew this minhag even b'makom peruvu. Well, the Ravid said it. Right. Okay, so one second. So let's go slow. Now, so let me say it like this. You see, Bizman Hazeh, like Rav Abadi pointed out, we have other ways of doing things. Meaning, you see, in the old days, the only way you can get a woman pregnant is in the natural course of cohabitation. Today,
So everybody pointed out, in other words, the need for a kula is not so because you could artificially inseminate her, and that you could do even when she's didn't go to the mikvah. Right? In other words, if the whole problem, in other words, before they had the concept of artificial insemination, so then, you know, so then the only way to get pregnant is through relations. So then that's the whole discussion here. So the Galim Sefer wants to say it's only a minute, so maybe it's only a minute. We could chisel down the days to go to the mikvah earlier. And the Ramban says no. So the Imre Chayim explains to the Ramban that the Ramban's idea is sort of what the Rav Dov and Karmelin said. That if you have a minhag, but the minhag is so widespread, it becomes like a din. But Bizman Hazeh, Baruch Hashem, we have the ability to make a woman to insert the zera into the woman even when she's anita. In other words, not through relations, but through artificially inseminating her with the man's sperm, and then she could become pregnant. Rav Moshe Feinstein said a bigger chiddush. Rav Moshe Feinstein permitted even to use someone else's sperm, not the husband, to use take a non-Jewish wife was at a non-Jewish sperm, and
even then the father would be a non-Jew.
No. The father would be right. In other words, the father would, but the kid is Jewish. And then you know, not everyone. I told you, not everyone was happy with Rav Moshe's. But there was a delegation. The Sabra Rebbe sent a delegation to Rav Moshe. Right, the kid is Jewish.
Unless,
I told you, what was it? A year or two ago, somebody came to me, happily married couple came to me and said that they just found out that the husband is not able to father a child. So in the end, to make a long story short, the doctors were fully cooler, they got a sperm from the sperm bank. But that's a separate issue. But the issue we're talking about is that the man's sperm is able to is viable. So if it's viable, so then the mice. But if her ovulation is early, so then what's called an IUI. That they use the zera of the man, and they put it into the woman. So that's what everybody said. Bizman Hazeh, the heterim of the Galim, this whole discussion is not as important because we're able to do it without having cohabitation. So I mean, look, some poskim say that you should never give any of these heterim because it's like the Ramban says. And there were others that supposedly, again, I was never witnessed to say by certain gedolim, that supposedly told people that they could rely, in the case where women can't get pregnant, on the Galim Sechta just to do 7 days and then let her go to the mikvah. There were some gedolim who were reputed to have told people that, and told people, like one of them said, you know, but please don't repeat this to anybody, you know, because it's a very, you know, you don't want to cause a whole pierce. So then there's also an interesting discussion. This Rav Beis Avi of Libus has a truth about this. But what if you have a couple that's one of them is not so religious and they want to be married? But Taras Mishpach is not something that he could readily keep. But he'd be willing to do it if he can just do the Daraisa. And not having, you know, 7 days. So that's a discussion. Well, with such a person, you know, tell him that it's better to stay married and just do the Daraisa than get divorced or then not do anything. Because 7 days, at least, if you did 7 days, you do you fulfilled the daraisa, and there's no kar, and you go to the mikveh, then there's no karis. So again, this is not something, you know, that you know, it has to be done in a very sensitive way for the, that particular, in that situation. And we're not here to give any coolers or anything. If that situation ever came up, will have to be dealt with. Yeah.
What purpose does like the initial sentence mean? Like after the initial sentence, there's like another way to like
she waits?
Like something like that?
No, Zayin Kiyam, meaning the question is, do you just need 7 days and you include the days she bled towards to the seven? Or do you need Zayin Kiyam? 7 days after she stops bleeding. So really, for a Nida, you just need lot. Yeah.
Okay,
that requires a whole... You're right, that requires a whole discussion of what?
The initial five is, what is that? That five means what? That first five, meaning...
That, I don't have 3 minutes to explain something that's going to take 5 hours to explain. But the initial five means that usually most people are going to bleed for 5 days anyway, but even if she's not, she still has to keep five. But to explain it, I don't have the... but I'll tell you, just last night, I had a shayla that was relevant for this. Let me tell you the shayla. This is the shayla. A woman came to me, and she's in the middle of the seven clean days, and she bought me a bedika cloth to look at. It was day four of the Zayin Akim. And I looked at it, and it looked red. It was red. And she's... What? Now, if it's really red, that means she's going to have to start again. And that means... And that's not a pleasant thing to have to restart. But it looked to me... It didn't look like it was really damnida. So there's one area... It looked like she probably scraped herself when she was doing it. She probably just did it. But... You can't just say that without... So there's a lady here, there's different ladies in communities that are bodekan. They're trained to look for maka. The lady here in the Heights, the lady in Tina. I have a whole list. I have a lady in Harnoff, I have a lady in Miami Beach, I have a lady in Toronto, I have a lady, you name it. And it's very good, because if you're going to wait for your doctor, so what doctor's going to take you at 10 o'clock at night? And then what doctor necessarily has an appointment that you have to wait for 2 weeks? Wait for 2 weeks, you should already need the five times over. I need to know right now. So she got through to the lady in the Heights. So the lady checked her, and she said to me, that it looks like she's raw inside, but when she put a Q-tip in, it didn't bleed. See, if she would have put a Q-tip in and it bled, then we know for sure that it was damaka. It was not from the uterus, it was the damaka. But here she didn't bleed. But she said it could be that when she did the bedika, she did it, you know, hard, so that caused the irritation, and she saw it was rawness inside. But it wasn't a full proof, because if she would have bled with the Q-tip, then that would have been a... So I asked Rabbani what he thinks. And he thinks, so he said like this: if we can ascertain that she's only a nida and definitely not a zava, by the fact that she bled for 10 days in a row, so then that means this nida, and then there's 3 days of zava, so then she would need zayin nikiy and midaraisa, so then we wouldn't be making. But since she only bled 5-6 days, and like the foolish one says in another statement, she didn't need any information before, but it was clear that she's only a nida. But she has to be drabana, she has to treat herself like a zolba and read Zayin Kim. But it's only the drabana. So since in other words, it's not a real zolba that she needs Zayin Kim midaraisa. So it would have been a Zayin Kim midaraisa, so then Rabbani thought it could be that it's not a good enough proof. that it wasn't from the uterus, because if it wasn't bleeding, the macha wasn't bleeding. It was only red, but it wasn't bleeding. But since it was only what? It was only a nida. She's clearly only a nida, but she would bleed so many days. So it can't be a zav shdola. So the male design key was only the rabbanon. So for the din the rabbanon, we could be so mech that since the skin inside was raw, that she, even though when she put a Q-tip there, it didn't bleed, most probably she took the cloth and pressed down a little hard, and that caused the irritation, and that's where the blood was from. So this way, she didn't have to start again. So that's relevant to this discussion. But it's interesting how this whole discussion of Korban Pesach and the Shimnoch Shel Gid has the relevance of this discussion of the fertility issue of the Ramban and the Galia Masechta and the Imrei Chen. I could have spent more time on it, but I just wanted to get this in because next week we have to already do Inyanei Pesach. We're not going to do it next week. There's no more time. So, and if you want tomorrow, you could look it over again, the highlights of this packet from the Sefer Imrei Chen and the Manam, and the Rambam and the Raivi, the Shimnoch Shel Gid, and the Ramban and the Galia Masechta about fertility, and it all works in the. Okay, now we'll break for 2 minutes, and then we'll do Chumash, and then that will be okay.